All right, we'll call the committee meeting to order here. Yeah, I thought I had it on here.
Yeah, it's on.
Thanks. It's funny how it's opposite up here, green instead of red. Yeah. So we have a stand for the pledge. Mr. Cool, would you lead us, please?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, can we have an approval of the December 1st minutes? Do you have a second?
Second, I'm sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Buildings and grounds, Eric?
Eric is all dressed up again.
Better color this time.
It's a little blow. Morning, everybody. No, my wife dressed me. Funeral. I got a funeral. So I've got three things for you folks this morning. The first one is we're looking for authorization to solicit bids for the industrial electrical services. It's the same thing Todd Housel brought in front of you for the mechanical piece 2 days ago. This is for electrical. So we're looking to get some bids on that.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
The second one is contract renewals, which I'm going to apologize ahead of time for not having the numbers right in front of you. There was no major changes and it is budgeted. These folks, these vendors have a tendency, it doesn't matter how many times Brenda emails them or I email them and call them, they never give us the change or if there is a change. And if it is, it's 2.5 to it's within their contract. But there is no major changes. I can get those numbers for you, Amanda, in whole. And I have them in front of me if you guys want me to read them off. There's quite a few of them.
Go ahead.
Okay. Imperial. First one is Imperial Door Controls. They increased 5%. So I'm sorry, 540. So it's 180 per operator. So a total of 540 per year. That's across the board with all of our mechanical doors. It's a one price. John W. Danforth is that there's a few more.
What is the, I didn't understand the pricing with the door operators. What do you mean by 540?
I'm sorry. I apologize. $540 to service and maintain the mechanical door operators that are on the county office building on the fronts. We can't touch those. The ones on these buildings that there's a big box above the doors. There's a little bit to them. They adjust them. If we got to, they shut and don't open back up, we can't fix them. We've called these folks and they come in. Okay. And it's a flat price.
Thank you.
John W. Danforth for the AC service and maintenance contract we currently have with them. They increased across the board 2.5% roughly. So the Pulteney Square Complex and 91 building current cost is $24,122. It's going to $24,725. The public safety buildings, current cost is $8,830. The new cost is going to be $9,051. This building, we're currently in the annex building. Current cost is $2,941, and the cost is going to $3,015. Records building, current cost is $1,681. The new cost is going to $1,723. SDS of New York, refuse and removal approximate. These are our spots, our locations that we have roll-offs or dumpsters at year-round. The cost for the Queen Courthouse is going to be $784.20, which hopefully will be gone soon. Now the courthouse isn't in there anymore. Community service building here on 115 Liberty Street is going to $1,710. Corning Community Service Building is going to $1,101.84. The next one is Southern Tier Fire Extinguisher. These are all our fire extinguishers. They've got to be monitored and inspected by a third party as well. testing and maintenance of them. There's no change in these. The Steuben County office building for all the fire extinguishers is $500 per year. Hornell Community Service is 70 on Seneca Road. That's on ours. That should be through. That's $75 per year. Community service in Corning is $100 per year. Community service here in Bath is $70 per year. DPW locations, all the DPW locations, gravel pits, outer shops, anything to do with those folks, Leche, $2,350 for the year. And that's all I have for those.
Questions? Hilda?
So, Eric, it's when we take over the the new DMV office, will these have to change because of that?
They generally don't nitpick us to that extent. I'm not going to say no, they're not going to change. But if they do, it'll be real minor, and we'll adjust it accordingly. I can report back to you on that, but it would be minor. The building sizes and stuff on some of the stuff that they're monitoring, like the trash, isn't going to change a ton. The same type of folks are going in there, the same use of the buildings, the same, same with some of the fire extinguisher stuff. Our vendors are pretty good. We've had a few of them for a little while, but they're
because we will be out of the old office, right?
Completely. Correct.
So everything will be in new.
And Jen, we have the option to, if we do run into a hiccup with that, to cancel within a certain amount of time and look into that again or revisit it, correct?
Yeah, 30 days.
Okay.
30 days notice.
Okay. So we're safe either way, I believe, protected, I would say.
Thanks. I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Any questions?
I do have a question. Do we know the status of moving into the Serview Credit Union building?
We're getting closer. Jack may have to speak on this, and Chris. The construction isn't as in-depth as it was when we did Hornell. So there's, I believe in my eyes, less on, selfishly saying less on my part, but Jack may have a better grab on where we're turning around on this.
Yeah, we essentially received verbal changes from state DMV about what they wanted to see. And like Eric said, it's not a lot. So I would expect here, you know, depending upon staff, like everyone, Eric's crews are pretty busy, but I would expect, I don't know, Eric, certainly within the next month to start rolling on that. Our kind of target was end of first quarter to have everything renovated, blessed by the state, and good to go.
Thank you.
So can you just explain for the people that are new, maybe they don't know already about what we're going to do with the DMV?
So anybody that's familiar with the Corning area and is not, we're currently in the old courthouse on the hill in Corning for the DMV and some of the probation use. We're going to move to the old Serview location, which is a lower platform style bank, existing bank. It kind of suits the needs nice for the DMV piece. Parking's nice. Accessibility's awesome. I don't know how many of you have been to the Corning Courthouse, but the accessibility is pretty tough there at times. It's just a nice location. So we're relocating in essence to a more streamlined, efficient operation in essence.
Okay. Can we have a vote on the contract renewals? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
So the third and final item is requesting to transfer a balance of HVAC and chiller renovation capital project over to 911's HVAC chiller controller water softener capital project in the approximate amount of $34,663.25.
I'll move it.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
That's all I have.
Eric, if you could get us a list of those contract renewals, just even the amounts ahead of time, then we could spare you having to read through them all.
I apologize again. That was my intent. As I said, some of these vendors, just with everything, I hate using COVID, is it, but to get back to you and get through the offices, we've emailed, we've called, but yes, that's always our intent. So I apologize.
No problem. Thanks.
Yep. Thank you.
Matt.
All right. Eric is taller than me. First up,
this, I apologize, the title on the agenda is probably not the most appropriate reflection of this, but this is essentially accepting the environmental assessment for the Woodlands Community CDBG grant and finding no significant impact. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I know some of you are kind of new to this project specifically. So just to go over, it's just electrical improvements due to severe corrosion to improve safety and quality for community out in Hornellsville, and just top coating for paving.
I'll move it.
Second.
Any questions? I do think also if you have the secret paperwork that we should receive a copy of that ahead
yes,
of time.
Yes, I will send that around.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
All right. And the second is an RFP award for engineering services to do that electrical and pavement improvements. We received two bids, one from Hunt and one from Labella. I'm recommending that we hire Labella for that work. They're not only the engineer and retainer for the community, they're also our grant administrator, and they were by far the low bid.
What is the price?
It's $42,000. Let me see. It is, sorry, pages stuck together. It is $42,775. The actual budget for our for the CDBG grant for this work was $52,000, so we have some wiggle room there, which was the intent all along.
What was the Hunt?
Hunt was in the $60,000 range. I don't know off the top of my head.
Do we have a motion?
I'll move.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Curious?
Thank you.
I had a question for you, Matt.
Yeah, please.
With respect to the comprehensive plan, could in the next meeting, could you give us a overview of what the steps are going to be for that and the timelines?
100%. Yeah.
And I'd like to, I think that the legislature should have some input on that, you know, through along the way. And so consider that when you're.
Oh, certainly. Just very briefly, my immediate step is to put together an advisory committee. I'm going to consult with Jack, Chris, and probably Chelsea Robertson with STC, who is a significant partner on the project, to identify potential individuals. I know, Kelly, you expressed interest in being a part of that.
Yeah, I'd be interested.
And once that's together, I guess their initial task will be to set out what a timeline, exactly what you're asking about. So hopefully, yeah, I'll have that together for you by February. Certainly.
Thanks. Jack? Oh.
You gotta get a question.
John.
Sorry. I have one question on the Woodlands community.
Yes.
Give us an estimate of how much money we've dumped into this operation over a period of time.
We have dumped $0 into this. It has been entirely grant funded. Well,
it's all taxpayers' money, though.
Right, that's correct. So the CDBG grant for round one in 2016, if I remember correctly, was $750,000. The award for this round was $998,000.
So this community, this Woodlands community, is all owned by the individuals that own trailers in this property.
Yeah. Correct.
So we're enhancing their net worth by what we're doing here.
I believe that may include Mr. Swackhammer.
I understand. That's one of the problems.
Did he call him?
Thank you.
No problem.
But if I remember, this thing was really in bad shape. I mean, it was pretty.
Oh, it was in
pretty sad.
It was in really rough shape, and the electrical system specifically, it's not safe, frankly. And we're talking about 96 households, so not an insignificant amount of people.
Thank you.
Yep.
Jack?
Yes, thank you. A few contract renewals for you. Hornell Humane Society, as you recall, they assist with the Spirit program at the jail. That's been kind of stopped and start due to COVID, but also help with some animal cruelty, and then also the trap spay neuter program. So it's budgeted, just another authorization or reauthorization of the contract.
I'll move that.
Second.
Questions?
Yeah, I was going to ask it Monday. Why did the SPCA show up on public safety, but Hornell's on this one?
You know, it's a good question, and it's probably because I didn't catch it. And the fact that looking back through the history of this, it's flip-flop between both between both committees.
Okay.
So
the sheriff used to have a role in the Steuben County SPCA. Yeah. So I think that's how that got on public safety and corrections.
Yeah. Okay. And I think last year they all came through this committee, and I just didn't catch bringing the one over.
Okay. Thanks.
We had a motion and second, correct? Yes. Favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Curious.
The next Empire Zone for the Hornell Chamber of Commerce, they administer and do the paperwork and such for the remaining Empire Zone projects. I would say that, you know, in conversations with the Hornell Chamber of Commerce, this may be the last year or funding could be reduced for this purpose, because, you know, with that program having gone away, the reporting requirements aren't as stringent. So my recommendation, as it's budgeted and as there still is work, is to approve this and then for next year look at either eliminating or a reduced amount.
Do we get a report from them?
So
we know how that money's being spent?
I don't believe so, but we can certainly get
one. That would be wonderful.
We will ask them.
Yes.
Yes.
What is it used for, Jack?
It's essentially to compensate for their time for the Empire Zone projects that are still out there for the reporting requirements for New York State.
Who otherwise would pay for it if we don't?
We would. It's a good question. We'd either have to have staff do it or find someone else to do it.
Okay.
So what about the Hornell IDA? Wouldn't they be doing some of that?
Well, so the Hornell Chamber of Commerce, I mean, Paul's probably familiar. The Chamber of Commerce and the IDA are legally two separate entities, but they're essentially the same thing. So it really is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Paul, you guys don't have enough money in Hornell to take care of your own house?
You can always use a little more.
Do we have a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Well, any questions?
Sweat.
How many projects are in this Empire Zone?
What's I don't have a current list. I would have to get that for you.
It ended a long time ago.
I just want to note that if the work has to be wrapped up, and if it's going to fall on us, if we don't send this grant money over there, I think it's probably well worth sending it over to help them get it wrapped up with a note that get it done this year. All in favor?
Aye.
Oppose? Carrie?
But you. We would like to see a report.
Yep. I got a note for it. And final one, renewal, REDEC. As you're familiar, they help administer the small business loan program. And for as long as I can remember, the county has contributed $10,000 as a local share to help their operations.
I'll move it.
Second.
So they were very, do we have a report or an update on the program that REDEC did with the county and to give businesses grant money?
Chris, either Chris or Jamie would know, okay. But we had a report that was a good program, but dried up pretty quick once the PPP. The PPP program came in, businesses were leveraging that. So I think we provided a report probably a year ago about the use of those funds.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, I can, when I give my report.
Okay. Thank you.
Did we have a motion and second?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Curious?
Thank you.
Anything else, Jack, for you? Jamie?
Am I on? Okay, good. Happy New Year, everybody. To give a little bit of context on the Empire Zone program, because Jack was asking me about it earlier, and REDEC, the Empire Zone program did expire several years ago, but there's some legacy benefits that some of those that got certified spread out over a 15-year period. And I don't know the specific dates of when that 15-year period is up, but I do know that there are some legacy projects that are still hanging out there. And that program wasn't just a Hornell program. If you recall, the Empire Zone was split between a variety of communities, and there are several businesses outside of Hornell that did receive benefit from that. So I believe that's the context of why the county supported this, early on. And I know Corning Incorporated did as well. So this is just, my belief is that they're just wrapping up these legacy businesses that were receiving benefits. As far as REDEC goes, to your point on the Steuben County program, there was a lot of discussion in early December about what to do with the remaining funds. About half those dollars did go out the door. And I think my belief was the last number that I got from REDEC was there was about $230,000 that was remaining in that program. So the question by the funding partners, Chris, myself, and Corning Enterprises was, okay, what do we do with that money? Do we turn it back? I know from the IDA's perspective, we would much rather see that be put to a use in the community. Do we restructure the program to make it not just an emergency relief program, but a true Steuben County small business program? Or again, do we turn it back over to the funding sources? Those discussions did start taking place in early December, and then the holidays came. So I would suspect that over the next weeks and months, there's going to be much more discussion regarding what to do with those remaining dollars that are in that program. I will say that, from an activity standpoint, Steuben County is probably the most active in REDEC out of the three counties that they fund. So Steuben County right now is definitely getting the largest amount of loan dollars out of all the REDEC programs of any of the other three or the other two counties that the program supports. So it is a good investment and something that the IDA also invests into on an annual basis through a similar contribution as the county does. So I'm happy to answer any questions about those two initiatives or programs, if you have any.
So I have a question on the $230,000. Is there, the way it's written, is it a stipulation so it only can be done a certain way, or can it be flexible enough that you could use it for other things?
So the program guidelines as they're set are set to only support businesses for emergency relief. And we changed it from COVID to emergency relief to make monies available for the flood, for the floods in August. Now, those guidelines can be amended by the committee that was put in place, which is made up of the funding sources and REDEC. So, that is a discussion that committee needs to have. There's no stipulations on our funding that the IDA provided. I don't believe there's any real stipulations on the county funding or the Corning Enterprises funding other than it had to go to Steuben County businesses. So, those that can easily be amended. And it's something that I would support. And I've actually told REDEC that they should start thinking about.
John.
My microphone is dead, but as far as the payback, has that been a consistent situation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anybody in default?
No.
These loans?
Nope. They're all performing. As far as I know, Chris, you, yeah, they're all performing.
That's a good sign.
I'm going to pass out. I know some of these were emailed out, but the emails don't look as good as the actual hard copies. So I'm passing around copies of our annual report that we released in December to really give the this committee a good idea of some of the activities that we undertook during the year. It was a good year, in spite of a lot of things that we were all dealing with in the community. As you'll see in the report, the IDA has 52 active projects, and those active projects support almost 7,000 jobs, 6,765 jobs in the county. Those projects also paid over $10 million, $10.6 million in pilot revenue. And why that's important and why I like to point that out is because those are direct payments that go to our taxing entities, including the county. The county receives over $2.1 million in direct payments from those 52 active projects. So it's not an insignificant amount for the taxing entities. Throughout the year, we did have to, deal like everybody did with the struggles of COVID, and so did our businesses. But, in spite of all of that, we've got businesses that are having record years, companies like StoreFlex, companies like Gunlock, who is having record sales, other companies throughout the area, upstate Niagara, Upstate Farms, they're all seeing significant growth. That growth is somewhat hampered by supply chain. It's interesting when you talk to businesses. I was talking to Upstate Niagara about, what is hampering them. And, I'm thinking it's milk supply, it's this, it's that, and the other. It's a certain chemical that they use in their processing that they need to do something to the milk to turn it into cheese, and they can't get it. As we're talking with businesses, it's very interesting to learn what is really impacting them and prohibiting growth. The other big issue is workforce development. And, it has changed. We've been talking about workforce development for a long time, but, COVID really has changed the dynamic and finding employees, keeping employees, and then just dealing with things like quarantines and COVID outbreaks, so that is really hampering a lot of the growth that the businesses are seeing. But again, in spite of that, as you'll see in our report, very active year as far as renewable energy goes. We've closed on Barren Wind. We expect to close in the coming weeks on 8 Point Wind. Canisea Wind is still out there. We've closed on several solar projects. We have several more that are out there. We estimate that with just renewable energy projects in 2022, you'll see almost $700 million in investment in the county. So again, not an insignificant number, and a number that we like to promote, because it's probably one of the largest investments in renewable energy the state is seeing in the at least this year and what we're hoping to be next year. And that does not include the Canisea Wind project, which will generate about another $300 million of investment. So when you look at that, that's enough power that is going to be generated that it would support well over 50,000 homes. But as importantly, that's going to create a significant revenue stream for a lot of those communities that are being impacted, communities like West Union and Troopsburg and Jasper and Wayland and Thurston, and the list goes on and on. And these are communities that would otherwise not see this level of investment. We also saw growth, on the consumer business side. You can see Wilkins RV is doing a significant expansion of their service center. Again, it's not an insignificant project for the community, because they're going to be adding about 10,000 square feet. It's a well over $2 million project to be able to service RVs. And, Scott and I were talking, part of what they're going to have, and there's a paint booth. And there's really no place locally you can get your RV painted if there's an accident. So that's going to be bringing in new wealth into the community. And then, Instant Brands, World Kitchen, Corral, Consumer Products, whatever we want to call them, we've gone through a number of iterations. Their furnaces are completely sold out. They can't make any more dishes right now with the current furnaces that they have. Now they're rebuilding one. They've got one that's offline, and they're looking at making investments into those. But again, COVID has been good to that business, and something you don't often hear. The other, item that I just wanted to briefly update you on, I talked in December about the LP announcement. We're still coming off the sort of LP high, I guess you will say. I'm very excited about that project. We're ramping back up with them. Have a meeting next week with the town planning board. The town has engaged Hunt Engineers to get through the site plan review process. The company will start construction as soon as they can get through site plan review. And they expect that they will be well under construction by the middle of the summer, a 12 to 18 month build. And they want to start hiring their management team in the Q3, late Q3 of this year, and then send them away to get trained to be able to bring them back and start hiring in early 2023. So again, that project is going to be, you know, well underway by the time I come back next year, and hopefully we'll have some better dates. And as I indicated when we talked in December, the nice thing about this project, you know, they've announced phase one, but they are building that site and doing all of the investment on that site from an infrastructure and site work for future growth. And, you know, the projections I've seen is that building could grow from what they're projecting up to 300,000 square feet. So, you know, this is not a, you know, a one and done deal. If they, their sales go like they expect them to go, you'll definitely see future growth at that facility and future job impacts, you know, for the Bath community. The other thing that we're actively working on right now is we expect on Friday to get proposals back for construction management services for the turning lane on Route 54 to support the industrial and commercial development that's taking place in the privately owned industrial park behind Simmons and Rockwell. You know, my hope is that my board's authorized us to move forward with a contract. So we don't have to go back to the board. We'll be able to select a construction management firm and go out to bid for that work, in a relatively short order. Construction documents are done at 95%. So all the engineering's done. We just need to go out to bid and get final pricing back on that. So we can move forward with that project in 2023 as well. I went through a lot of that very quickly. You know, much of it is outlined in the report. I know you've got another meeting coming up, so I'll end here and be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Hilda.
So more of a statement than a question, but I think I have another question. So I've had several calls about the Corning store closing, mm-hmm. and how, oh my God, Pressware is going to fold. You know, you said the same thing, because it's across the country, not just the one in Corning. And it's good to hear that that the business is doing well.
I think Scott and I had a text exchange. I don't know if it was Christmas Eve night, if it was. Yeah.
Well, it's a concern.
Yeah. It is. And it's a concern, but it wasn't a surprise. And the reason I say it wasn't a surprise is because when the current management team came in, they made the decision that they were not a retail company. They were a manufacturing company that makes consumer products. And so they closed all of their retail stores in shopping malls, and, you know, and they kept, the only one they kept open was Corning. So when the announcement came that they were closing that retail store, well, I think it was a disappointment for all of us that knew that and work with the company. It wasn't a huge surprise knowing that they had previously closed all of their retail operations around the country. You know, when Scott texted me that, because, you know, you never want to, you always want to confirm before you go back. You know, I reached out to my contact, Kathy Landman, who happens to be the number three person within Instant Brands, the company. She's head of legal, head of HR, head of a few other things. She immediately texted me back and said, there's no truth to this whatsoever. Things are going great. You know, we're having, you know, record sales. We're very happy. So, you know, the retail closure is, you know, was just an internal decision to get out of the retail store business. It had nothing to do with the overall corporate, you know, strength of the company.
Well, that's good. The other question I have is, well, a couple, an update on our favorite question about Philips lighting. Updates on that.
They're continuing to work with DEC. You know, that's all I can say in a public setting that I can confirm. Let's just put it that way. I know we've been engaged with the Philips team. They are working with DEC. They're doing some asbestos abatement inside the building. There's some concerns that DEC wants them to address about stormwater and you know, the groundwater supply. And I know that they've done some test wells behind our offices and elsewhere to make sure that there's been no, you know, groundwater infiltration offsite. So those are some of the things that are being worked on. And, you know, I've got to be honest, it's probably going to be a while before they work through their DEC environmental issues and concerns in order for the company to be in a position that they're going to look at transferring that property to some other type of development. They are very committed, extremely committed to making sure that site is cleaned up before they sell it to somebody else. So,
yeah. Kelly.
And I have one more question,
Kelly,
about Corning.
Hold on. Excuse me.
Sorry, I wasn't done yet.
No, you asked a question. Other people have some questions. Kelly, go ahead.
I wondered if there was an update on the Providence project in the Village of Bath.
So we are working with Providence. We had an email exchange just yesterday. They are updating all of their letters of support, or asking people to update all of their letters of support. They are updating their financial modeling because there's some... The new pricing has forced them to take a harder look at the financials, the new pricing as far as materials and costs. They're confident that they can make it work. They expect that they are preparing to submit an application for the next round of funding, which they expect to be announced later in January.
Thank you.
Hold on.
But Jamie, question, the Foundry site and Painted Post, any mm-hmm. news there?
So the Tyler Container and one of their equity partners and investment partners that they brought to the table had a meeting with representatives from the Village Planning Board and the Village themselves. We were involved with that. They talked about some adjustments that they would like to see made as part of the site plan review. In the middle of all of this, there has been an appeal filed of the Article 78 decision that was made, which basically threw the Article 78 out. So that appeal will likely run through June, but in the midst of all of that appeal, I expect that they will go back to the community to try to amend the site plan proposal. Their expectation is they should have something prepared by February, at which point in time, you know, the village can make a determination if they want to you know, take a look at those amendments. And the amendments are amendments to the original approval, which included some stipulations regarding traffic and size of the building. And, you know, they're looking at downsizing the footprint of the building, but they want some considerations on some of the other stipulations that were put on that. So once that is ready to go, I will have more to report. I don't want to speak out of tune because I haven't seen the final request, but I know that we were involved in that meeting with the village leadership and Southern Tier Central to talk about a path moving forward.
Jamie, when you talked about the Amazon or traffic light project in mm-hmm. 2023, is Amazon talking about starting there in 2023?
So what the expectation is from the Amazon project is that, they do expect to move their project forward, or all indications are is that they expect to move their project forward in 2023. They have some investments that they need to make at the facility, which are it's a lot of earth work and paving that can't be done during the winter. That's what they're telling us. The investment that we're making in the turning lane would support all of the potential investment that's going to come with the potential, distribution center of Amazon size. And also with the LP project, we expect there's going to be a lot of traffic.
But when you say 2023, are you talking about them breaking ground?
They're going to break ground in 2022, and then they would be operational either late 2022 or early 2023.
Okay. Steve, did you have a question?
Jamie, what prospectively for projects like the Amazon project, what's the prospective outlook as far as what wages are going to be paid?
So I can tell you that from the LP's perspective, because they've actually applied to the IDA for incentives, we've had to do our cost benefit analysis. Their average salary is going to be in the high $40,000 a year range to low $50,000 a year range. It's somewhere in that $48,000 to $54,000 a year range is the range that they've provided us as an average salary. I can tell you that the lowest paid position that they've outlined for us is they've got three warehouse positions listed. And those warehouse positions were somewhere around $45,000 a year starting wages. Amazon is, they have, I will tell you, Amazon, everything I'm telling you about Amazon is just through conversations that I've learned, because they have not applied for any assistance, and I don't expect them to apply for any assistance. So we don't have any definitive numbers, but I can tell you that, you know, they had told us early on that, you know, they're going to have a certain number of warehouse people that are going to be working in the warehouse that are going to be Amazon employees. Then there's going to be truck drivers that are going to be third-party contract truck drivers that are not going to be Amazon employees. They're going to have a contract with whatever trucking company, and they're going to hire, you know, a fairly significant number of truck drivers. Then there's going to be a lot of seasonal, you know, I guess I call it gig employment, where, you know, you can sort of pick your hours and pick your time frames for both delivery driving and for, you know, work in the warehouse. So I think you're going to see a fairly significant range of employment options and salary levels, but, you know, they're going to be what I would call a traditional warehouse, you know, employment level. If you look at like CVS distribution down in Chemung, you know, they're starting their people out and in the probably $14 an hour range. And I would assume that you're going to see similar levels at an Amazon distribution center. But again, I don't have any of that detail because they haven't reached out to us for any sort of public assistance.
Any other questions, Carol?
Were you involved in bringing Kentucky Fried into Painted Post?
No, I was not. And I wasn't involved in bringing Kentucky Fried into Bath either. So my wife is excited because she likes the coleslaw. So that's all I can say.
I'm going to be involved in sustaining them in Bath.
Rita McCarthy will definitely be, you know, I don't think she's happy it's going to go in Painted Post, but she will definitely be a, she loves Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Any other questions for Jamie?
I'll ask mine later.
And please, you know, I know there are some new members on AAP, and I think many of the legislators and former members can attest to this. You know, we're an open door. Please feel free to reach out at any time, and, you know, we're happy to have conversations offline if necessary. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have this other business from the Kansas City Greenwood Clay Target Team. Is that, who was it that was going to?
I can't imagine who wants that going.
Well, it wasn't.
It wasn't you?
It wasn't me.
Oh.
No. It came through Tom Ryan.
It was presented to Jack, and Mr. Brewer is unaware, so I guess I'll tell you what I know.
Maybe we just postpone it till next month when he's here.
We can do that. Just overview quickly.
Sure. Yeah, it's good.
They're looking to use that site for exactly what it says, clay target practice. As you recall, we went through this exercise a couple of years ago about all the county properties that are out there that we're doing nothing with, and whether to post them, whether to allow people to be on these properties. So this is one of those properties that we have. I was able to confirm, though, that this particular property is in line for timber management. So there will be county people surveying it and pulling trees at some point in the next 18 months. So that was my response back to Jack, is might not be the right time, and we need to check with the insurance people to see. And I don't know how that ended up, but I think it can be delayed based on the next 18 months are not a good time with timber companies going in.
And why change our policy?
Yeah.
If they can still go up and use it, right?
Our policy basically, just for the new legislatures, is nothing is posted, so that we don't have to necessarily monitor the posting. But we also don't invite people onto the property. So if somebody goes on and were to be hurt, there would be as little county liability as possible under that scenario. That's where these properties all stand.
Yep.
Whereas if we give specific permission for them to do it,
that we then have to insure it and cover it. Yeah.
Yeah. My problem with this request was, and I love these organizations, and I'm glad that I can't believe New York State school system allows them to have teams that compete, given all New York State's anti-gun rhetoric, but they normally go to gun clubs, local gun clubs in the area. Every gun club that I know of supports school teams there practicing, because everyone wants kids to learn how to do it safely and do it right. If you were going to create this on county property, it would require construction of buildings. Skeet is two buildings, Trap is a bunker in the ground. So, I mean, it would be a pretty good investment. And I just don't see it making sense on county property.
I'm also familiar with, there's a couple Call Hill County properties. They're both near land that my family or I own. One of them is a couple of properties over from a property I own. Both of them are completely wooded. Yep. It's and one of them has a gated access to go way out over what is my parents' property that was negotiated a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I did it. Yeah, we don't have any road frontage.
Yeah, so and it would be substantial, not only buildings but tree clearing and all kinds of stuff to have any reasonable clay shooting experience there.
Yeah. And all the properties at Call Hill are on for the timber management plan in the next 18 months to 2 years. So whichever one they were looking at, all of them are included in that. I confirmed that with DPW.
Okay. Steve.
It's maybe a bit tangential, but why are we hanging onto these just for the timber and then we're going to try and get rid of them? Like, why are we keeping this?
So we did a list. Yeah. Maybe 2017.
Yeah, I remember.
And there are a lot of like little parcels here and there. Sometimes they go back into the tax sale and they just don't get sold. We could, you know, that's something that maybe you all want to revisit on that list, because there were several, say six maybe, that lie on the river that we had talked about possibly having kayak and fishing, just a parking lot, more access to our rivers. I don't think anything's been done with them, and it just kind of fizzled out the whole conversation.
Yeah, I remember we had discussions about divesting from some of these that we don't have any need for, and maybe maybe every 5 or 6 years we got to try again and see if anybody.
And maybe as we go forward with the hopefully the NREM sale this year, when we have that sale, maybe there are some to throw in there.
Any other questions, concerns? We should be thinking about goals for this year for the committee, and maybe we can talk about them in the next meeting. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries. We're adjourned.